At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. We come to you every Wednesday. This week's guest, Ryder Cupper for the European side, Andrew Coulthart, won a couple times on the DP World Tour and is a voice at Sky Sports Golf now. One of my favorite people, super, super smart, always has great takes, so was excited to get his reaction to the season-ending Race for Dubai tournament in Dubai on the DP World and talk about all things DP World. But before we get to that interview, let's take a moment to talk about our friends at Rapsodo. It's hard to believe the holidays are here, but Rapsodo has you covered for the perfect golf present for any golf lover in your life or even yourself. That's the all-new Rapsodo MLM2 Pro launch monitor. You've heard me talk about how much I like the original MLM launch monitor, which is $299. And now they have the MLM2 Pro. It's a mobile launch monitor and golf simulator that is revolutionizing the game. This award-winning device offers three video replay options to analyze your swing, delivers 13 key metrics, and boasts over 30,000 courses. And you want to know what the best part is? It's portable. Whether you're practicing at home or going to the range or heading to a simulator, this is the device that really fits easily into your golf bag, and you can take it with you anywhere you want to try and practice. Priced at $699, it's a steal and was recently dubbed the best value launch monitor by MyGolfSpy. Visit Rapsodo.com right now to take advantage of their exclusive deals. From now until December 10th, you can save $69.99 on the MLM2 Pro launch monitor and get a dozen RPT golf ball bundle, or enjoy 20% off Rapsodo SIM Studios. Plus, all five studio bundles are available for under $3,000 or $5,000 if you include a projector and the MLM2 Pro. Don't miss out on this amazing opportunity to elevate your game with Rapsodo and play without limits. And now let's get to a really exciting talk with Andrew Coulthart. For my American listeners, my guest today is not Sean Connery. It is Andrew Coulthart. Andrew, we're it's a podcast, so no subtitles. So try and give us your accent a little bit turned down.
Okay.
So the DP World Tour just finished out in Dubai, Race for Dubai. You were out there on the call for Sky Sports. Interesting year, Andrew, for the DP World, the European, I still call it the European Tour. You joined the European Tour in 1993, won twice. Calling it DP World as opposed to calling it the European Tour is just so weird to me.
It takes a bit of getting used to, that's for sure, Claude.
Nikolai Højgaard, birdies five out of the last six. I mean, this kid is a stud. I mean, that's a big golf course. That is a big field. How good do you think this kid can be? Because when I watch him hit golf balls, and he and his brother Rasmus, I mean, they look like they can win any time, anywhere, on any tour.
Yeah, that's a great point. Look, I think it still just goes to prove that golf is in great hands. You know, the next generation is coming through, and goodness me, are they good? They are good. Don't you worry about that. Yeah, five of the last six to win, with the likes of Ram breathing down his neck, Hovland breathing down his neck. And I've got to take my hat off to him, because I questioned whether he deserved that pick in the Ryder Cup. And okay, Europe went on and they won the Ryder Cup. Nicolai only managed to get half a point. Half a point is still huge when it comes to Ryder Cup. It's massive in terms of what that means. But he himself would possibly have been a little bit disappointed. If he was, goodness me, he's got over it quick, because he finished second in the Nedbank down there in South Africa to Max Homa the week before, and then went on, as you've said, and won our tour championships. And, you know, the kid and his brother, who just missed out on a dual card in the PGA Tour next year, are phenomenal talents that, you know, we've got over here. They've come through Denmark, the Danish system. They won the Eisenhower Trophy, which was the amateur team event, alongside John Axelsen. You know, these kids are the real deal. You know, we seem to have quite a few of them at the minute.
Scandinavian golf right now, Andrew, making kind of a resurgence. I mean, there was that big kind of 90s push where there were a factory of players coming out of Sweden. But you've got Victor Hovland from Norway. You've got Ludvig Åberg, who's, I mean, he just looks like he can't miss. And then you've got the Hogard Quint. So Scandinavian golf is really, really strong right now. I thought it was really important for Scottish golf this year, Andrew, for Bob McIntyre to get on that Ryder Cup team. But I lived in Scotland. You and I mean, it's one of my favorite places. Why don't we see Scottish golf doing what we see Scandinavian golf? It has always mystified me. I mean, I lived in Glasgow for almost 5 years. The weather is pretty much the same. You've got better courses in Scotland, but you see Scandinavian golf just constantly doing well, and Scottish golf, in my opinion, not doing what it should do.
Yeah, well, look, you and I have had discussions around golf coaching for quite some time. There was a trend in the sort of early 2000s to model every single player's golf swing on the one golf swing. You know, if you start to look at, you know, all the Scandinavians, you know, in fact, you don't need to be a genius to look through any of the tours that you see on television, and basically no two human beings swing it the same way. A golf swing's like a fingerprint, and it's important that the golf coach understands how that person interprets the lessons that are being made, and does so without losing ownership of their own golf swing. And you know, Scotland, I think, fell into a trap where they had a central system, and almost like everything that these players knew and learnt and grew up with, when they got into the national system, it seemed to me as if it was sort of broken down and said, no, that's not how you do it. This is how you do it. And my own personal view is that put quite a few players back a little bit. It affected the development and they didn't come through. Also, I will say, look, things are cyclical. Although, having said that, Scotland's not produced the talent that it should have done for quite some time. There's obviously been the odd exception. We're all very familiar with Colin Montgomery. But, you know, I think something happened in English golf around about the late 80s, early 90s, when one or two of the players came out on tour. Lee Westwood got his tour card. David Howell got his tour card, to name a few. And, of course, all the young English male golfers that had grown up playing with him could see that they could play. If these guys can get on tour, they can get on tour. And that drew a lot more of those players out. Your Paul Casey's, your Luke Donald's, you know, we know what they've gone on to achieve in the game. We did start to see it in Sweden many moons ago. No surprise, because they were like the first amateur body to adopt a professional approach to golf in general. It was happening in all other sports, but golf was typically slow and lazy to adapt. The Swedes came out, Parnevik, Johansson, Hegman, Hedblom, all things like that. And now we're just seeing, again, the growth of the game in those areas. Thomas Bjorn, Søren Kjeldsen have an awful lot to do with the advancement of the Danish golf in there. Again, you know, putting their knowledge back in, those young stars being inspired by the elder generation. We're starting to see, I've got to admit, in France, we're starting to see an awful lot of really good quality young French players coming through. That was evident again in our Tour Champs. And I've got to say, you know, our Scottish kids, there's a few more Scottish kids now coming through, and I'm pleased to see that they don't all swing it the same way. They've all got their own way to do it. But they're all, you know, they're all developing at a pretty good pace. Obviously, you talked about Robert McIntyre, and he was pretty much the first of this new generation. And there's Grant Forrest, Callum Hill, Ewan Ferguson, who's won twice now on the DP World Tour, the European Tour, came close in the top 10 there last week. So it's that belief and that evidence that allows the confidence to sort of grow in some of these players. And that's why we're seeing these countries now starting to come on. But trust me, for a long period of time, we were scratching our head and very, very disappointed with the output in Scotland.
It's interesting, Andrew, that you mentioned that there was this trend, and I think there was a trend in a lot of the national teams, and it was right around that kind of Tiger Woods era, Adam Scott, to where everybody was trying to get all the players to kind of swing the golf club the same way, right? To put the golf club in positions. And you know, having grown up and playing in Scotland, I think one of the great things growing up in a country like Scotland or Ireland or Northern Ireland does is if you're going to be a competitive golfer, you have to learn how to play golf first and foremost.
Yeah.
You have to get out on the golf course in very difficult conditions. You know, you go out to places like Carnoustie, Muirfield, Troon, which are golf courses that are very, very famous, but they're also golf courses that you can play. You can go and play these great golf courses. My dad, years ago, in like the early 2000s, when I first moved to Europe, my dad and his brothers, they did a Red Bull kind of coaching clinic. And my dad and his brothers, they went down to Celtic Manor. And I think Rory McIlroy was part of this group. This has got to be like 2002. And my dad said, it's raining sideways. And everybody's out hitting golf balls. And he's like, in the US, if it's raining, you don't go and hit golf balls. So my point being, this centralized system that you talked about that I think a lot of, and it's something that I talk a lot about on my podcast, Andrew, the difference between playing golf and the difference between practicing golf and practicing your technique. And I think what I hear you saying is, I think it's easy to say to players, listen, we've got to treat everybody the same. You've got to swing the golf club the same. But if that was the case, a guy like Colin Montgomery would have never made it out of any sort 100%. Of system because he had such an idiosyncratic but an unbelievably repetitive golf swing. You know, in talking about Scottish golf, I mean, listen, we all make jokes about Monty, that those of us that know him, that have to be around him, that you have to work with him sometimes. And stuff. And Monty is an easy, easy target, right? But the guy was an unbelievable golfer. And I don't think 100%. Monty gets, I think sometimes because of the way Monty is personally and in the public, that he doesn't get the credit, but he's one of the best golfers I've ever seen. Like, he's one of the best golfers I have ever seen pick up a golf club. And I just don't think he gets the credit. Obviously, he never won a major. But it's interesting, Andrew, nowadays you can be a superstar without winning a major. Back in the day, Monty wasn't seen as a superstar because he never got that major. But you grew up with him. You watched him play a lot of golf. How good was he?
Oh yeah, he was incredible. You know, I mean, the consistency just speaks volumes. Well, you know, he won what is now the Race to Dubai, the Order of Merit, 8 times. He won it 7 in a row. 7 in a row. I mean, you know, you don't get an opportunity to have a bad week when you do things like that. And Colin was there and thereabouts carrying the flag for the European Tour in the global game, playing all over the world, and. You know, just the level of consistency, the repetitiveness of that swing was out of this world. a great touch. He was good on the greens. He just had it all, and had it. And it was a really interesting temperament, though, because you know it wouldn't be the temperament that you would try to encourage people to have. But it was part of his defense mechanism because, you know, as you know, a lot of players, if it's not working out, you sort of find something else to blame. You know, it's not me, it's something else. And that way it keeps your sort of confidence high. It wasn't my fault. It was, you know, that bird flapping its wings in the trees 3 miles away. You know, that kind of thing. the baby screaming in the nursery because it needs its diaper changed or something like that. You know, I mean, a lot of people would just be able to sort of tuck that away and get on with it. You know, Monty used it as a way of just deflecting the pressure off him. But another great one, though, that we talked about, Jim Furyk. You know, if anybody other than his father went near Furyk, he would never have had it. Dustin came out, you know, when we used to go through a system where the club face at the top, as you know, needed to be sort of 45 degrees, you know, do open shut, that kind of thing. And anything more open than that needed to change. Nobody had ever come with a golf club, really, that was pointing. The face was pointing straight up the sky. In comes Dustin Johnson, best player in the world, blows everybody off the face of the planet for many years. And is still playing great golf. And it's that kind of thing. There was a template over here with the PGA system where everybody had to teach the same swing. And I think that was a massive, massive mistake. You know, it's all very well when it's you know you're teaching a book or you're just teaching somebody that wants to be a good golfer, but when you're teaching somebody that wants to be one of the best golfers, you know, on tour or on the planet or something, if you strip out what is in their DNA, their golf swing, and give them something else, they will never ever be that player. There's only one man I think has ever come close to doing that and maybe improved, and that was the man we all know as Faldo. He was the only guy that was capable of doing that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It's interesting. You mentioned Dustin Johnson played from plays from a really, really shut position. And my dad, when he worked with DJ, didn't change that. When he first started working with Tiger in 93, Tiger played from a pretty closed position. And my dad weakened his grip. They wanted to get the golf club in a little bit more of a neutral position. And then you've got a guy like Monty. Monty played kind of slap fades from a very, very open position. I do think that we are in 23, though, Andrew, because of all the technology and because of how much we know and how much we can measure. I've never changed golf swings less. right? I've never changed golf swings. And I've said this before on the podcast, but it's one of my favorite stories to tell about my dad's brother, my uncle Billy. Yeah, he was in Vegas. It's like Tiger in 2000s there, Adam Scott's there, and every, you know, and Tiger and Scotty, I mean, he couldn't put the golf club in better positions. But I'll never forget this. And my uncle Billy said, you know, it's amazing to watch these guys and watch how everybody is trying to emulate these two. And they're obviously, Tiger being an amazing player, Scotty, but he said, if you look at two of the greatest ball strikers of all time, Hale Irwin, Lee Trevino, Hale was closed, took it inside, came over it and hit cuts. Lee was wide open, took it way outside, dropped it under. And my Uncle Billy said, it's amazing. We don't teach anyone to swing like this. We teach everybody to try and swing like Adam Scott and Tiger Woods. He's like, look at the way Nicklaus putted. Nobody ever tried to reproduce or emulate the way Jack Nicklaus putted. And he, without other than Tiger, he's the greatest putter of all time. And it's funny how, you're right, things are cyclical. And I do think we are, I mean, if you look at a kid, you know, like Victor Hovland, Javi doesn't have a Adam Scott, beautiful textbook type golf swing. Luda Ahlberg, okay, I like some of the things about his golf swing, but he's got a little bit of a move at the top where it looks like he takes it up and it can get a little bit laid off. And then the Hogarth twins, I mean, none of these guys, Bob McEnroe, none of these guys are classic swingers of the golf club, but they all have very, very good golf swings. And do you see a trend more so now in a kind of a swing back to the old days where we are seeing some Paul Azinger type grips?
Yeah, definitely.
We're seeing some idiosyncratic golf swings be really, really good right now.
Absolutely. And that goes back to what you're playing. These are players that have learned it's the game's not called swing. The game's called golf. You've got to play golf. These ingredients come together. You can have a great golf swing and be a crap golfer. You know what I mean? But you've got to learn to play. And these people have understood and know how to play and how to be confident with what they've got. And I've got to take my hat off to their coaches that have just allowed them to go and progress and improve and maintain that level of positivity and confidence without stripping it away, without destroying it, without giving them somebody else's golf swing to work away at. And it's allowed them to develop at the different rates, but it's also allowed them to, you know, focus on other things that contribute to being a world-class golfer. I mean, you can have a very, you know, I remember one time I got my swing looking really, really good on video. It looked great. I was really happy with how it looked. I had no idea where the club face was at impact. and trust me, when the golf ball's going left and it's going right and you get no idea how it's going there, confidence tends to dip off a little bit. It doesn't matter how good any other aspect of the game is playing. It's rubbish.
Andrew, you mentioned your own career. You turned pro in 93. You were part of the Walker Cup team in 91 with Padraig Harrington and Paul McGinley were on that team for GB and I. And then David Duval, Phil Mickelson, and Bob May on the U.S. side. So amateur career, then pro. You won twice on the European Tour back then in Qatar in 98, the Great Northern Open in 01. Played the Ryder Cup in 99. When you look back on your playing career, Andrew, what kind of grade would you give it? And if you could go back and do anything different, would you go back and do anything different? Do you feel like you got the most out of kind of your game and your career?
Good question, bud. Good question. I remember sitting an exam in my little school, my town, which had 2,000 population at high school. It was, I couldn't even tell you what exam I was sitting. I was that bored sitting it. But I remember dreaming while I should have been trying to figure out the answer for something. If I just, you know, what I would give to just have a tour card. If I just had a tour card for 1 year, you know, and I'd frame it up on the wall and I could say that I'd be a European tour player. Well, that would just be it to me. That would be, you know, that would, at that stage when I'm 17, 18 years old, that would just make my life. I could brag about that, you know, forever, tell stories about that year that I played. I'd be called the European tour player. Then you get on tour. And then, of course, you know, you look around and your goals change, your aspirations change. A lot of things change and you know, you push yourself even further. Yeah, I got into that Ryder Cup side. I won a couple of tour events, which was great. That was crucial to me because when you're always playing, you always question whether you're good enough. You never really know you're good enough until you win a championship. So when you win a European Tour Championship, you become a winner on tour. That's a great feeling. And then obviously to get the nod and to represent my continent in a Ryder Cup, well, that was just incredible. And even though when I was playing, and when I subsequently played from that point, I'd have given myself a D minus or an F. When I look back now, having finished my career and moved into the media world, I look back now and say, you know where I came from, little golf course that had 300 members, it was only 6,000 yards long in the middle of the hills in the south of Scotland. I did pretty good for myself. I was, not a lot of people managed to get out of the village, get out of the area. I managed to get out of the area. I managed to travel the world. I'm very, very fortunate for those opportunities. Met a tremendous amount of great people along the way, and I'm very, very lucky. So when I was playing, as you know, I was always incredibly miserable. and nothing much has changed.
That is true. You mentioned, Andrew, you know, it's easy. You look at your career, you've only won twice. But, you know, I coach Pat Perez. I'm around Pat a lot. And everybody goes, you've only won four times. And Pat always says, well, try winning once. Right. And he says that because it's easy to look at. You have a career, you play, you play for a very, very long time. And I think the great ones, right, the Scottie Schefflers of the world, the John Rahms of the world, who win every single year, they win multiple times, they can somewhat make it look easy to be a perennial winner. It is incredibly, incredibly hard to win. That's why when I look at this kid, Ludvig Åberg, I mean, Ludvig's playing college golf 6 months ago. I mean, he's playing college golf 6 months ago, and he's on a winning Ryder Cup team and then wins his first PGA Tour event. Okay, obviously, when you look at him, and I think everybody has seen this coming, right? And we got to see kind of his coming out party at the Ryder Cup in Rome, to where he played fantastic. And when he plays, you look at the stats, you look at this. I mean, it's no surprise that he has won the last tournament of the year based off of how he's played since he's turned pro. But that getting that first win is such a hard thing to do. How important, Andrew, do you think it is from a playing standpoint to get a professional win on a tour early? What do you feel that does? Yeah. And what do you feel like are kind of some of the traps that you can fall into when you win early? I think we've seen that with Matt Wolf, right? He won his second professional event, but he hasn't won a tournament in 4 years.
It's really, really interesting. Obviously, of course, Ludvig, right before the Ryder Cup, when there was pressure on and people were looking at him as a pick, and Captain Donald was saying, listen, this guy is good. I've played with him. You're kind of going, well, that's all right. It's got to be more, where are the results? Where are the numbers? And of course, he hadn't played enough events for stat numbers to really sort of count, but the European guys had been all over him. And then he won up the mountain in Croix-sur-Sierre on the DP World Tour. So he won that. I mean, Justin Rowe, the great statistician that we use, I mean, he can't find anybody, certainly the last 30 or 40 years, that has turned professional and won both on the PGA Tour and the DP.
I don't think you can DP find World Tour.
Yeah. I mean, that to be able to go out and do that is out of this world. It's just sensational that he's managed to achieve that. And it's great, and that it's all got to do with his upbringing. It's all got to do with the people around about him. It's all got to do with all the great work ethic at college and the States. It's all got to do with how he is with himself and how he thinks about himself and how he thinks about the game. As we've said throughout this podcast with some of these players, the sky really does appear to be the limit, because one of the good things I like about all these guys, particularly Åberg, is that Winning for somebody could be the absolute icing on the cake. And as a result of that, they could take their foot off the gas and, well, I'm a winner and I've achieved something that I never thought was possible, and I've managed to do that. And, that could have an impact on it. These guys don't look like that. These guys look like, they expected it. If it wasn't going to happen soon, it was going to happen sooner or later. It wasn't going to take a long time to win. Now they've got the win under their belt. Like, it does look like they're going to kick on. Nobody, I guess only those closest to the likes of Matt Wolf would maybe know what it was like for him and how he was dealing with this new life, because you are living in a goldfish bowl. You know, you can't hide away from everything. Your whole life is now under the microscope. I'm trying to think of somebody, you know, Tom Lewis over here did it in Europe. Mm-hmm. He won in Portugal, I think, in one of his first years out, and then struggled. Matt Wallace hasn't won for 5 years. A year that he won three just before the 2018 Ryder Cup. Beg your pardon, he won Corrales Punta this year, but it had taken him sort of 5 years before he got back into the winner's circle. You know, other people, you know, they can push too hard too fast. They can, you know, the expectation can be a burden. If you expect too much without keeping yourself grounded, that can put an inordinate amount of pressure on yourself that can constrict you. And as we know, when you play golf, you never want to feel tight. You never want to feel edgy. Some of the other things, of course, is that, as we know, all the terrific facilities, you know, that are there and that are around us can get used, can get exploited. Players can also start tinkering a little bit with golf clubs. Somebody comes along now that they've won and, you know, their contract's up with a certain manufacturer. Let's change equipment. And it all sounds juicy, and somebody's going to chuck $1 million at you. You think that's great. But when you think about it, that million could actually cost you five. You know, maybe it's not such great business. So, you know, there's loads of those things that they've got to look out for, watch out for. But I would have thought, based on what, you know, Auber has achieved and certainly the Højgaards have achieved, there's enough people around about them that are pretty clued in to understand how all these things go to protect them from falling into these traps. But again, the other thing is, Claude, we've got to watch out. We've got to be measured with our expectations of these players. I mean, Auberg's had a fantastic career in a few months. You know, he's got 20 years out there at least. You know, let's not pile so much pressure on him that the guy can't breathe. And that's something I think us, you know, as the media, have a responsibility just to look out for a little bit.
The obvious question with Ludvig, because he is so talented and has had this kind of meteoric rise. I mean, all of a sudden now, people are saying, is he the next Tiger Woods? Is he the next Rory McIlroy? That's a lot to put on a really young kid. And having gone through this as a player, how do you keep your feet on the ground, Andrew? Because all of a sudden now, he's going to get tons of media requests. Yeah. He's got the limelight. He's going to have companies throwing lots of cash at him. And he's had a breakout year in 2023, but to me, the big year for Ludvig Åberg is 2024. He's never played in a major before.
Yeah.
He's a winner on the PGA Tour. What do you see as the ceiling, and what do you think his schedule is going to be like?
Well, I think, you know, any events that he's not eligible in, you know, everybody will want him to play in that team because he's a bit of a golden ticket, but he's also an incredibly nice and charming young kid, which is, you know, is also a fantastic attribute. His schedule will be very busy. He will have to deal with an awful lot of these questions because he's certainly not somebody that's going to be able to fly under the radar. Your great point. How did he react to a year like last year? Very difficult to go better than that, but it wouldn't surprise me if he is. Look, and yeah, again, I don't want to do what I've just said we shouldn't do, but clearly the guy's got talent to win majors. He will hopefully find his own pace. Well, like I said, he already seems to be very pragmatic. He already seems to be incredibly laid back. He wouldn't be able to have achieved what he's achieved in these last few months if he wasn't. I think they understand now. You know, when I was playing, and it was all about, you know, if you measuring the amount of top tens you had from a year to year, that's not how things are done now. You know, you measure performance on certain levels and the tiny little minutiae that a fantastic cycling coach over here was, Sir David Brailsford, was always talking about, just, you know, shaving tiny little bits off of here and there, tiny little improvements here or there. mean massive differences at the end. And they're maybe not that perceptive, and they maybe don't necessarily mean that he'll jump up another couple of spots. Well, he's going to because of where he started, but in the world rankings or whatever. But very, very soon, those things will start to take shape and take hold. He's going to get an awful lot of opportunities. He's going to be somebody that would be comfortable in major championships, settling into those. He even looked like he took the pressures of the Ryder Cup in his stride. It's very, very embryonic in his career, and I think we just all need to sit back, not put any pressure on, not put too much expectations on, and just watch this, you know, watch this guy start to shine.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work, done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Someone who has gone through what Ludvig Åberg is about to go through, Rory McIlroy, wins the Race for Dubai, which is the equivalent of the DP World FedEx Cup, for the fifth time. He continues to be one of the most interesting people in our sport. Made the decision at the end of this and said last week he's going off the policy board on the PGA Tour. He has been, in my opinion, the PGA Tour spokesperson for the last two years. I think they've asked him to do that. I think he volunteered for that. What kind of grade do you give Rory McIlroy for 2023?
Yeah, that question was asked of him, and he said 7 out of 10. The horrible thing for Rory is that by the time he was 24, he'd won four majors.
that's a burden, Colty.
Well, I know. I know. I was just thinking. In fact, I forgot to ask him for a loan of £5 the other day there, but. So he's not done too badly for himself, let's be honest. But all the guys talk about major championships being the measure. And, I know he'll be incredibly disappointed. You know, he actually, did he not say back on the that full swing thing that he's not won another major for a while, and it feels like the next time he does it, it'll be like he's going to try and win the first major. So that just shows you what it's like. It's pretty tough to get back in that saddle again and feel comfortable in there. But he did come close, obviously, at the US Open at LA Country Club this year.
What do you see, Andrew? Because you follow, I mean, obviously, you for Sky, you do all the majors, you do a lot of American golf, you do all the European Tour golf. So you see Rory play a lot of golf, and you watch him play a lot of golf in the majors. When you watch the way he played and you watch the way he putted in Rome at the Ryder Cup, and you look at the way he has putted and played on Sunday when he's had chances to win majors in the last decade. I mean, Happy by Pharrell was number one in the charts the last time he won a major. I mean, that's how long ago this is. And I would have thought in 14, when he won his last major, if we were in 23, I think conservatively, I would have thought the number would have been at least 10. So what do you see when you watch him play? Because I think he is, other than, I never saw Jack Nicklaus play. I grew up watching Greg Norman and then Tiger. So I watched Tiger. I mean, when I look at Rory McIlroy, and that's including Brooks and DJ that I've been lucky enough to work with, other than Tiger Woods, I've never seen a player like him that has everything you could design. He's like DJ, right? If you were going to design a golfer, you would design someone like DJ. Tall, hits it miles. If you were going to design a different type of golfer that wasn't 6'4", you would design Rory McIlroy. Tons of speed, big heart, big guts, can shoot low. But why are we sitting on four majors for someone that is just so good?
I think there are two things. I mean, we've got to be realistic. Sometimes you've got to be in the right place at the right time. And
but he's always in the hunt for majors. I mean, it's not like rarely is he not in the hunt when it counts.
Well, a few too many times he's shot himself out of it and then come back in and created it. And that, you know, that to me, I think, is him trying too hard and not allowing his game to, because he knows how desperate we all desperately want him to get back in the winner's trails. Nobody wants it more than he does. Of course, because he knows he's going to continually get asked this question, and you know it's records and history and all that stuff will matter to him. I think I mean, I'm just looking at it there. I mean, statistically, he's the only person to what of 54 hole leader of major championship, 150th Open Championship, hit all greens in regulation and lose. And that was because of Cameron Smith's absolute brilliance. Although I will say, again, there were so many opportunities and the putter just
I couldn't believe at St. Andrews, by the time we got to the fifth hole, because DJ was a couple of groups in front, and I'm like, by the time we get out to the turn, Rory's going to have birdied four out of six, four out of eight. He's going to be making the run, and it didn't happen. Andrew, with all of the landscape of where professional golf is and everything that's happened over the last 2 years with the tour and LIV and kind of the professional golf world being turned upside down. I said earlier that Rory is the spokesperson for the PGA Tour. He volunteered for that. They were happy for him to do that. But from a major standpoint, how much do you think everything that he's taken on board over the last 2 years has affected him when it counts? Because also, he's going into every major championship press conference having to answer the question, you haven't won a major in 10 years, and when are you going to major? And then he's going into every press conference, and people are going, PGA Tour, LIV. That's a lot for one human being to have to deal with.
Yeah, it's exhausting, Claude. It's absolutely exhausting. I think his colleagues took advantage of him in that regard. You know, one or two of the others should have stepped up to the plate. It was noticeable by their absence that they didn't want to do that. Then I look at somebody, arguably the best that has ever been, Tiger. Would Tiger ever done that? I don't think so. He was there to do a job. His job was to focus on those events. But let's be honest here with this, though. Rory McIlroy gives everybody in the media, you know, headlines and stories and something worth writing, because he is himself in those things. He doesn't straight bat everything. He doesn't just give it the old cut cliches and look at his watch and wish to get out of there in 30 seconds. If there's a talking point in the game, he'll offer his opinion. And, you know, we almost take advantage of that niceness about Rory McIlroy. But at the same time, he was doing that over the last 2 years. It was exhausting. He was looking around. Nobody else was backing him up. As you quite rightly said, he was there to step into his office, and he was being called into the wrong kind of meetings at the wrong time. And And of course, then ultimately, as well as having stood there and did that, then all of a sudden he was sideswiped by the announcement that you know they decided to sort of work together and amalgamate to look at the prospects of putting things together, which I think came as a bit of a shock to him. I think this is the right move. I think this is absolutely the right move for him. It's a shame it's taken this long, but I've also got to take my hat off to him and say that respectfully, he did what was expected of him in difficult times. And you know, you've got to absolutely admire that. And I feel for Jordan, who's now just taken that on, because Jordan's going to have to understand what that's like to deal with. And the questions are just incessant, Claude. At these major championships, which mean the most to him, it's not the golfing press; it's the world's press, and the questions are just incessant and very, very emotive, and very, very taxing.
So, 2023, given the landscape of everything that's happened, you're a European Tour guy, right? I mean, you were never one of the guys that moved to you never moved to America. You played, you know, you didn't start in Europe and then play full-time in the U.S. Where do we think the DP World Tour is in 2023? We've got these 10 players now with this new system that are coming to the PGA Tour, which I'm excited to see what these players do. But there is a narrative out there that, given the kind of the way that Keith Pelley and the DP World Tour have kind of hitched their wagon to the PGA Tour, right? Where is the DP World Tour in 2023, and where do you think it goes in the next 2-3 years?
I think maybe surprisingly to you, I think the DP World Tour is actually in a pretty strong place. The opportunity for these players, the strategic alliance that's available to both tours, the package that was set up in order to create that union. The amount of money that the DP World Tour players are playing for just now, the opportunity, as we've seen, for 10 to go over there to the PGA Tour. I think we get 5, don't we, from outside the top 125 or something from the PGA Tour, I think, come in at any one time to order. It's an opportunity for them to get back onto the PGA Tour. I think it is what it is. You know, we're kidding ourselves. There's absolutely no way it can go toe-to-toe with the PGA Tour, that's for sure. But I don't think the negative argument about being just a feeder tour for that is justifiable. It may look like that to some, but I think it's still a very, very good, strong tour in its own merit. And hopefully, as well, we'd like to see when the FedEx finishes, the FedEx Cup finishes over there in the PGA Tour, we'd like to think that, you know, some of America's major stars would maybe like to cement their position in world golf by coming over to the DP World Tour and proving it. We're certainly a very hospitable tour, and we welcome these guys to come over, and we absolutely love them coming over. And if they want to play a little bit more like they didn't do at the Ryder Cup or just before the Ryder Cup, then they're more than welcome to come along and do that.
I knew I was going to ask you about the Ryder Cup. I knew I'd get you started. We did some TV together. I mean, obviously, it looks like, in hindsight, Luke got it 100% right, and Zach got a lot of things wrong. If you could go back at the beginning of the week and advise Zach Johnson, hindsight's great, but going into that week, what do you think the U.S. could have done differently, excluding the fact that other than Dustin Johnson, nobody played golf, other than Brooks, nobody played golf. I mean, nobody played any golf.
No, so first of all, that's alarming. I've got to question the players that have done that, because would they do that at any of their own individual major championships? Would they take that amount of time off just before one of their majors and think that it was honestly going to give a good account of themselves? No, absolutely not. My other question is, you've got Stuart Sink, Jim Furyk, Davis Love III, Steve Stricker, Zach Johnson. I hope I've not missed anybody else out. At least 35 or Freddie Couples, of course. At least 35 or something Ryder Cups under all their belts. And this task force, and nobody's going, hang on a second, lads. Nobody's playing. Nobody's playing. Hang on a second. Why is nobody playing? I also want to question the players and say, why do you not want to play for these captains and vice captains? Sure, you know, because this is not just about, if you want to let yourself down, you can go ahead and let yourself down. I don't care. That's fine. The Europeans lap that up. You want to let your teammates down. You want to let your captains down. Where's the respect for Zach Johnson and that task force that you can't be bothered playing for 5 weeks prior to a Ryder Cup? It's not just you you're letting down. What about the American fans? What about the people that paid the trip to get over there to Rome to support you, and you're only going to give it a half-baked opportunity? And it was no surprise that, guess what, you started to play more like you could play at the end of the week when it was basically all but lost. I mean, I just don't understand. There is no sport that I know that any professional athlete would conceivably take that much amount of time off before what is one of the biggest, the Olympics or whatever, the Winter Olympics, any of those things, would conceivably take that kind of time off and expect to perform anywhere near their optimum level. I thought it was really, really poor.
Why, historically, and I've talked about this in the past, but I'd love to get your opinion on this. We tend to want to have captains that have big personalities. That there's been a little bit of a move away from that with going to Strick and stuff like that. But I think the Europeans have excelled with captains that weren't necessarily super, super, superstars. That didn't, other than Faldo, and Faldo didn't do a great job because they got killed at Valhalla. But all of the other captains have kind of had this kind of under the radar approach. And why do you think that works? And what do you think the U.S. could take from that? Because there's this thing that we've got to take proven winners as our Ryder Cup captains, right? Right. We've got to take all these guys that have won multiple majors. They've got to be icons. They've got to be, you know, bona fide, you know, Hall of Famers. And we don't see that. I mean, we just don't see that from the Europeans. And why does it work?
I mean, that's interesting. Well, first of all, before we talk about the captains, you've got to take 12 players that want to play for your red, white, and blue, right? Because I'm seeing what I see is that's not the case. There might be 10 of them. That might have been the case this year. Might be 9. I'm not seeing 12 players that want to play for. You guys had a team 2 years ago at Whistling Straits that were meant to dominate for 10 years. Now I know you were arguably more depleted because of Liv than the European Tour. But the European Tour, DP World Tour this year, had guys in form at Whistling Straits. We didn't. But you need to get 12 players that want to play. I can't stand listening to some of these multimillionaires bitching that they're pitching up at a Ryder Cup and somebody's not paying me any money for it. It's just there's something wrong with your psyche. And personally, I wouldn't have anybody in my team, even if they qualified, that did not want to play for the red, white, and blue. I find it disgraceful. You go to the DP World Tour, every single man will bleed for that team. They will pay to play a Ryder Cup, not the other way around. And until you sort that out, you're always going to be up against it. Then let's talk about the captains. A major winner doesn't make a good captain. You know, a great golfer doesn't make a good coach. You've got to be able to talk to players. You've got to be able to be the glue that holds everything together. You've got to be able to take the time to understand all the players, what makes them tick. Paul McGinley had a very challenging one with Victor Dubuisson, who's an interesting character, and McGinley managed to work that out. Sometimes, if you're the big man that's won this, won that, won the next thing, then the Ryder Cup can be about them, not about the players, not about the match, not about the team. I still thought that I don't think Zach Johnson necessarily did a terrible job. I don't think his players pitched up, and like I said, it doesn't matter how. Listen, you can be the best captain in the world, but if your players don't pitch up, forget about it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This summer, click into Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot and get after those outdoor projects with some serious cordless power from Ryobi. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. Leaves and debris are no match for the 40-volt power of the Ryobi leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Tidy up those flower beds and keep your walkways looking sharp with Ryobi's 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Yard work done and done. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. Shop now at the Home Depot or homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
So, Colty, if you're the U.S., who do you pick for the next Ryder Cup captain?
Well, you're asking me an honest question rather than one. I'd go Zach Johnson again. Who do we pick for the... Well, look, I mean...
Does it have to be Tiger?
Well, does it have to be Tiger? How can it not be Tiger? But then again, is that the players played for him at the President's Cup when they went down to Australia. If any player doesn't sit still and listen to every single breath that Tiger Woods makes when he's talking to them, then the person needs their head looked at. If you can't respect that man, you can't respect anybody. So, against what I've just said about, you know, somebody that's achieved so much, that guy commands the room every single time he walks in there. And I would absolutely hope for damn certain that next time up there in Rochester, that 12 players want to bleed for that man and for your country.
Lastly, Andrew, it's been a crazy 2 years. Is the merger going to happen? Is the merger not going to happen? We got TGL now being postponed to 2025. We've got LIV that still at the airing of this doesn't have a schedule out. Where the hell is professional golf this time next year? Give me what your wants are and then give me what you think will happen.
That's another good question. I want things to come together much more sort of globally. I think everybody does. I don't, you know, LIV went away and did what it did. I think with Jimmy Dunn and the people over there trying to get everybody to talk. I think that's a sensible way forward. Everybody involved together to give a product that that is worthy of all that money that's being chucked around. I think the difficult thing at the minute is when everybody's trying to combat everybody else, there isn't the money there to carry on doing that, and that's going to be an issue. And so, you know, at some point, the sooner that gets sorted and things get tied up, the better for everybody. Because at the minute, the way it's going, despite what all these players think, in both America and certainly over in here in Europe, there is absolutely not a bottomless pit of money that they can tap into. And if the game is going to be expanding anywhere near the rate that it has done, then absolutely everybody needs to sit around the table and talk. Again, you know, the morality aspect of it, I can't get, because, you know, we're all using plastics here and there and everything, and derivatives of petroleum. So it's a difficult argument that to have. But, you know, we all need to, everybody does business, and money talks. And you know, we need to do things before that cash starts to run out.
I think regardless of what side of the PGA Tour live battle you're on, and I think everybody is kind of entrenched and isn't moving from that. But one of the things that I think has been kind of cool that LIV has brought back into people talking about was the massive success of their trip down to Australia and playing in Adelaide. You won twice on the Australasian Tour. I think international golf, you're hearing Rory talk now more about we need more tournaments internationally. You know, it was the running joke that all the WGCs were basically, yeah, the World Golf Championships were all in the US. I think one of the things that LIV has maybe shown a light on is taking golf to places that maybe don't get to see great players. And I would love to see, I think it's great that the PGA Tour is the Scottish Open is a PGA Tour event. I think it would be great to have some bigger PGA Tour events outside the United States, because, I mean, the PGA Tour has been so America-centric that it's like all the decisions just get made for what happens in the U.S. And I think it's cool. One of the cool things for us in Australia that went down to LIV, Andrew, was the fans had never seen that many good players in one place. I mean, all over the world, you get tournaments to where they bring in some of the big guns. That's been going on forever. But I think to take a full field PGA Tour designated event to somewhere in Australia, the crowds and the people, it would be amazing.
Well, 100%. But the problem I've always seen up until LIV being able to do what it's done is we create the monster for ourselves. You know, these animals cry out for more money. We give them more money. Then when you give them the more money, you go, I'm not doing that unless you give me more money. And all of a sudden, they put themselves in a position where they go, well, you know, I don't have to go over there because I'm quite comfortable over here. So somewhere along that line, a commitment drawn up by the players has to be that, yes, they will travel. You have to. You know, do it for the, do, you know, if you believe all this rhetoric, this rubbish that comes out of the mouth, do it for the game then. Let these kids in all these far-flung countries actually see what it's like, top quality, best players going head-to-head. That kind of production would be sensational. The world would want that. But I've seen over the last 20, 30 years, too many players that have been paid everything they want. And when push comes to shove, they then go, nah, I'm not doing that. Nah, I'm not wearing a hat.
He just lost his hat sponsor. Did you see that?
No, did he? Did he?
Patrick Cantlay, Goldman Sachs, not renewing for 2024 on the hat. What do you think about that?
There you go. There you go. I just that's maybe they just couldn't find enough material. I don't know.
Quickly, Scottie Scheffler, is he going to get this putting turned around? I mean, this kid is playing.
I hope so, man.
I mean, this kid is he is so much fun to watch play golf. And Brooks played a couple of practice rounds with him at the Ryder Cup, and I haven't seen him. I mean, I haven't seen him up close in about a year, but
yeah,
he's impressive, man. I mean, he is legit impressive.
Yeah, I want to turn the clock back a little bit. You know, when I remember when he first came out and people thought he was good, and then he just, you know, went like an exocet, like a rocket. It was right up to the stars. He was sensational. Then again, like we talked about with Ludwig, you know, how does he react? How did he react? He went even better and he became world's number one, and he absorbed it and he took it in his stride. And he was sensational because that must be impossible almost to deal with it. And he was absolutely stunning in how he handled that and what is required of him to be world's number one golfer. We've then gone on to see him, you know, play at such a level You know, I mean, that record, what was it, over 17 strokes gained at the Players this year.
Crazy.
What did he hit 76% of greens in regulation this year. This guy's a stud, an absolute stud. And I'm almost in tears at watching him walk off a golf course not getting anything like what he deserves with the quality of golf that he plays. And it is interesting that, well, I think it's maybe started to happen now where he's almost focusing on that so much that it's becoming a bit of an issue. I think he stuck with a putter for such a long time. I mean, the definition of insanity is you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and eventually, and expecting it to change, and it doesn't. You know, just change. Just change for 5 minutes. Just change for a round. Or just get something different. Subsequently, though, he then did change and nothing much happened. But I do not want to see him have to suffer on the greens like he has done in the last couple of years. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I saw Rory do it briefly for a couple of years when he looked like he was scrutinising every single blade of grass on the green, trying to hit the perfect putt and forgetting just about putting. And I've started to think that Scotty looks like he's trying to do something similar. He's trying to hit the perfect putt. He struggles a wee bit with pace, and when the pace is off, it doesn't matter whether you pick the line, the ball's not going on the path that you're going to send it in. But you know, in the New Year's wish list, you know, you wish for Scotty Scheffler to actually find something on the greens just to get something out of this game that quality of golf deserves.
Well, Andrew, we could talk for another couple hours on everything. Always great to get your take. Two things I want from you before we leave. Best Scottish hangover cure.
Well, just another drink.
Just keep going.
Just whatever it was from last night. Just fill up again.
My go-to when I lived in Glasgow was bottle iron brew and square sausage sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, I'd go for whiskey again.
Last thing I want you to do for all our listeners, Andrew, repeat this phrase, shaken, not stirred. Give it to us.
Yes, dear boy. How would you like your drink? I'll have mine shaken, not stirred.
If the golf thing doesn't pan out, the Sean Connery impersonations, you can make a good living doing that, mate.
Well, thank you, Claude. That's very kind of you.
Good to see you, pal. Hope we'll catch up soon.
You too, pal.
And you're doing a great job at Sky. Keep it going.
Thanks, pal. Love you, mate. You take care, okay? All the best, bud.
So that was Andrew Coulthart. And listen, I'm lucky enough to spend a lot of time over the course of each year with Andrew. And he has his finger on the pulse of not only the professional game, but specifically what is going on with European golf. Like I said, played on a Ryder Cup, won on the DP World. He's won all over the world and really, really one of the great voices in golf. Want to thank everyone for listening to the pod. If you haven't gone back and looked at some of the old episodes, we've got some great ones with some great guests. And as the winter months are coming, there's definitely guests that can help you with your golf game. And keep an eye on my social over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be doing some giveaways. But I can't thank everybody enough for listening. The pod continues to do well. And I continue to be surprised how many people listen. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We will see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.